When you think about STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, maths, what's the common thread? So often it's visual, right? We rely so much on diagrams, charts, schematics. It's just how we communicate complex stuff.
Absolutely. And especially in areas like computer science or electrical engineering, it's fundamental. Think about UML diagrams for software or, you know, those Carnovich maps, the KV maps for logic circuits. They're powerful tools, but yeah, they assume you can see them.
And that assumption, well, that's where the problem lies. It creates this huge accessibility gap. We're talking massive numbers globally. The WHO says over 2.2 billion people have some vision impairment. So if your main teaching tools are visual, you're immediately putting up barriers for BVI students, blind and visually impaired students.
Yeah, and this isn't just theory. This work we're looking at today, it came from a real situation in Germany. The authors there at Technische Hochschule Mittelhessen, they basically ran into this head-on a few years back. A blind student enrolled in a first-year programming course. And the instructor was, you know, drawing UML class diagrams on the blackboard, which obviously wasn't going to work.
Completely inaccessible. Wow.
And then it happened again. Another blind student, this time in technical informatics. And that course involved logic circuits, KV maps, all very visual. It really highlighted that standard accessibility guidelines, like WCAG, they don't really cut it for these specific technical visuals. They needed something more focused.
So they had to build solutions from the ground up, essentially.
Pretty much. And what came out of that, over 4 years of working directly with these students, are these five pedagogical design patterns we're diving into. They're structured ways, actual methods, to create STEM content that works for everyone using multiple modes.
Okay, let's unpack this. Where do we start? What's the first pattern?
So the foundation pattern one is what they call the core of content, and the focus is on transformable text-first authoring.
Text-first. Okay, what's the big obstacle it's trying to overcome?
The big enemy is the inaccessible graphic. You know, when someone just screenshots something, a table, a chart, and pastes it in as an image. Assistive tech, like screen readers, they just see an image. They can't read the text inside it, let alone understand the meaning. Plus, a lot of common tools, those WICU editors, they kind of encourage treating everything like a picture.
Right. You just drag and drop, and it looks good visually, but underneath.
Exactly. Underneath, it might be completely opaque to assistive tech. So the solution here is, well, maybe a bit radical. You have to pull out the essential core content and make sure that core is in a format that can be transformed easily.
What does that mean, transformed?
It means you start with text, usually. You ditch purely decorative images or mark them clearly as decorative. But for graphics that actually teach something, you capture that information as text.
And they mentioned Markdown specifically. Why is that format so useful here?
Mostly it's simplicity. Markdown is just plain text with some very simple formatting rules. Screen readers, braille displays, text-to-speech software, they all handle plain text beautifully. It's very robust, very accessible from the get-go.
Okay, so you start with this clean, accessible Markdown file.
Right. And then you use tool. Pandoc is a great example to automatically generate other formats from that single source. You can create a nice-looking PDF or a web page for sighted students with all the visual layout they expect.
Ah, I see. So the sighted students get the visual presentation. BVI students get the accessible text structure from the same source file. No one's left out.
Precisely. Think about a simple truth table in logic. If it's an image, useless for a screen reader. But if you make it using Markdown's table syntax, the screen reader can navigate it perfectly. Rows, columns, headers, it understands the structure. That text-first approach is key.
Okay, that covers simpler content representation.
Yeah.
But what about those complex diagrams we started with, like UML? That leads us to pattern two, right? Accessibility of diagrams.
Exactly. Diagrams are different because they often follow formal rules or specifications. They have structure. And often that structure is already stored textually somewhere, like in an XML format. XMI is common for UML.
But the challenge is how we read them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sighted users jump around a 2D diagram, seeing relationships spatially. How do you replicate that sequentially?
That's the crux of it. Sighted people use that spatial jump. BVI learners typically access information linearly, one-dimensionally, through text or braille. So the solution involves using textual modeling tools. Think Plant UML or Mermaid. These are tools where you describe the diagram using text.
Okay.
The tool then generates the visual diagram for those who need it. But crucially, the underlying text description remains accessible.
And how do you handle the relationships? Like if class A connects to class B way over on the other side of the diagram?
Good point. That's vital. The textual description needs to place the relationship information right next to the element it describes. So when you read about Class A, the text immediately tells you it connects to Class B or inherits from Class C. You don't have to hold a huge mental map in your head while scrolling through lines of text. It reduces the cognitive load.
That makes sense. Keep related info together.
Yeah. And this pattern also brings in haptics touch. That spatial information, you know, what's grouped together, what's close, that can be conveyed physically. You can use things like refreshable 2D braille displays where pins raise and lower dynamically, or simpler things like swell touch paper, you print on it, heat it, and the lines raise up.
So you're getting that spatial sense through touch instead of sight.
Exactly. You're recovering some of that two-dimensional understanding.
Okay, so that handles structured diagrams. Now for the really messy stuff, maybe. Pattern 3 is about accessibility of graphics. Things like photos, drawings, unstructured visuals.
Right. These don't have a neat underlying specification like UML. They're just pictures. So interpreting them automatically is much harder. The main approaches are textual, tactile, or sometimes auditory. Text means good alt text, alternative text.
Alt text is standard web accessibility stuff, isn't it?
It is, but writing good descriptive alt text for complex educational graphics takes time. The author has to really think. What's the important information here? What does the student need to get from this image? It's not trivial.
And making tactile versions sounds like work, too. You can't just print a photo in bumps, can you?
No, not really. Touch isn't great with color or shading, so you typically have to simplify the graphic a lot. Often involves converting it to clear lines and contours, maybe using edge detection filters first.
Yeah.
Then you can use things like 3D printing for durable models, or that swell paper again, or the electronic tactile displays.
This sounds like an area where AI might eventually help, generating descriptions or simplifications.
It absolutely is, and we'll get to that more in Pattern 5. But what's fascinating here is the human element remains critical. Even if an AI generates a description, the author must check it. Is it accurate? Does it actually convey the key learning point? AI can miss nuances or make mistakes. That check is essential.
The human in the loop. Got it. Okay, let's shift gears. Pattern 4 talks about sonification of time series. Data over time, like graphs from experiments.
Yeah, think simulation results, experimental data plotted on a graph.
Why isn't just reading the data points enough if the screen reader reads out 1 second 5 volts, 2 seconds 7 volts?
Because you lose the feel of it. Reading points sequentially strips out the sense of time passing, the rate of change, the overall trend. Is it rising fast, slowing down, oscillating? You don't get that intuitive understanding from just numbers.
So sonification, making sound out of data, how does that work?
You map data values to sound parameters. So the value of the data point might control the pitch of a tone. Higher value, higher pitch. Or it could control volume, or how fast notes are played, or even the position in stereo sound. The time axis in the data becomes actual time unfolding in the audio.
So you literally hear the graph evolve over time.
Exactly. You listen as time unfolds. The authors give a great example, a capacitor charging curve. You know that classic UDOT formula?
Yeah, the voltage rises quickly, then levels off.
Right. So if you sonify that, maybe mapping voltage to pitch, the student hears a tone that rises in pitch. It starts rising quickly, and then the rate of increase slows down as it approaches the maximum voltage. They can intuitively grasp the time constant by hearing how quickly it approaches that final level. Tools developed with places like the Georgia Tech Sonification Lab make this possible. It's way more intuitive than reading a table of values.
That's a really powerful way to get an intuitive sense of dynamics. Okay, that leads us nicely into the final pattern, Pattern 5. Graphics with generated explanation. This sounds like where AI really comes into play.
It is. This pattern is about augmenting the visual with a detailed textual description that's generated and then verified. We're talking about using modern AI, large language models, image-to-text systems to look at a complex graphic and write a rich explanation.
So going beyond basic alt text, and you mentioned before, this isn't just for BVI students. Here's where it gets really interesting. How does this help sighted learners?
Because the AI can often generate a more detailed, technically specific breakdown than an author might have time to write manually, it forces an explicit description of components, relationships, maybe even underlying principles or formulas shown in the graphic. That structured explanation can clarify things for all students.
The example in the paper was pretty striking. An RC circuit simulation screenshot. What did the AI description include for that?
It was impressive. It didn't just say circuit diagram. It identified the specific components and their values. V1 was 5 volts, R2 was 200 ohms, C1 was 1 millifarad. It even stated the governing formula for charging and calculated the time constant as 0.2 seconds. That level of detail is incredibly helpful.
Wow. That's much more than standard alt text. It's almost like automated analysis.
Kind of, yeah. It acts like a technical assistant. But, and this is the crucial bit, again, the author has to verify it, is the AI's analysis correct? Is the formula right? Is the explanation clear and pedagogically sound? The expert validation is non-negotiable.
Always back to the human expert. Okay, so bringing these five patterns together, what's the big takeaway from this work at Technischock Scholl Mittelhessen?
I think the main message is that making technical STEM fields accessible isn't some impossible Herculean task. It's achievable. It takes structure, using the right tools, many of which are open source, like Markdown, PlantUML, but it's practical.
Yeah.
These patterns came out of 4 years of actually doing it, working with students. They know it works.
And it seems like the benefits ripple outwards.
Definitely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's a fantastic example of universal design for learning. When you design carefully for learners with specific needs, like BVI students, you often end up creating materials that are better for everyone. That clear, structured, textual content, sighted students appreciate that too. It forces clarity.
It forces you to really break down the concepts clearly.
Exactly. Good pedagogy, really.
So what does this all mean? Where does this head next?
Well, the authors drop a hint about future work that's pretty exciting. They're looking at using generative AI not just for alt text, but potentially for automatically creating entire audio podcasts from course materials and textbooks.
Whoa, so turning a textbook chapter into a listenable explanation automatically.
That seems to be the idea. Imagine having your course content available not just as text and visuals, but also as structured audio, maybe even with sonified data integrated. Think about the potential for a truly multimodal learning experience generated on the fly, available to absolutely everyone. That could really change how we deliver technical education.